Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
Collective Minds.
It is what it is.
Peace, peace, family. We are back in the building. This is your brother, Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is Rigel in the building. How everybody doing?
Hotep, Abarigani, and Assalamu Alaikum. This is Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio. Here at Collective Minds, we ain't all got to think alike, but we all have to think. So we back, family, hopefully to share some constructive dialogue with y'all, see what's going on. We got a great show lined up. Should be some good conversation. But before we get started, as always, my brother Mufasa and Rigel. Rigel first, how was your week? And do you have any announcements for us?
No announcements. I had a great week. Just looking forward to the discussion, but no announcements at this time.
All right. Yes, indeed. And our brother Mufasa Ra, how was your week, my brother? And do you have any announcements for the family?
Yeah, I had a blacktastic week also. Still in the land of the living, just ducking and dodging Corona. So all is well. No major announcements. Just one small one is that with the current situation and how money, fiat money is, I just want to encourage people to look more into other means of, you know, moving your finance around, whether it's cryptocurrency, digital form of moving currency, you know, assets like gold and silver. So
that's right.
Throw that out there for people to, you know, look into that a little bit more, because we never know what the dollar system.
Yes, indeed. Yep, and good you said that, because, you know, we should probably do a show on that, you know, here in the near future, with the way the economy been going and with COVID and everything, like you say, the dollar getting weaker. We definitely need to do a show on, you know, the economic future for the family, to see how we could, you know, maybe bring some ideas to the table, you know, for people to diversify their portfolios and whatnot, so we could prepare for the next, you know, 5-10 years. As the economy changes. So, yeah, we'll be doing that in the future. So stay tuned for that, man.
Hey, maybe we can create us a collective mind Bitcoin.
Hey, that's possible. We can get on the blockchain. We can get on the blockchain, you know. We could definitely do it. So, yeah, we'll keep y'all posted, but definitely, family, be looking out for that discussion here in the near future. Yeah, so just real quick, you know, I know we're in Virgo season. I have to shout out the Virgos because they hold a brother down. You know, I said this last week, and I'm going to keep saying it as long as we're in Virgo season. I came from a Virgo, right? My mama Virgo. I married a Virgo, and then I went and had Virgo daughters. So the universe is telling me something, you know what I'm saying? So I pay homage to the Virgos. It's y'all season. You know, we love y'all. Y'all hold us down. So I just want to shout out to all the Virgos, and, you know, hope y'all have a prosperous season. and you know, a prosperous year, you know, as you move forward. So yeah, I just want to put that out there. But yeah,
what's your sign?
What'd you say? Oh, my sign comes right behind the Virgos. I'm a Libra. Yeah, I'm a Libra. So I come right behind a Virgo, and I actually would have been a Libra. I mean, I actually would have been a Virgo had I been born a couple of days early, because I'm right there on the cusp. But yeah, I'm a Libra, so I'm right behind a Virgo. You dig? So, you know, I got to shout them out. Got to shout them out.
And I'm
yeah,
a Gemini.
Without further ado, family. Yes, indeed. Sis is a Gemini. Queen Rigel is a Gemini, no doubt. No doubt. And that's still twin energy. That's still some twin energy going on with them Geminis. So shout out to y'all. But yeah, family, look, we are back.
Hold up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hold
yes, sir.
Up the presses. Stop the presses. Because, of Let's course, go. That was all set up. That was set up to say the best for last. Mufasa Ra is an Aquarius.
Okay.
It is
no
what
doubt.
It is.
No doubt. Shout out to the Aquarius. Yes, indeed. So yeah, family. Without further ado, listen. This is arguably the most important election of our lifetime, up until this point. There's no election that has more implications with everything that's going on in the world, with the coronavirus. With the economy being shut down, with protests going on in a lot of cities, with police shootings, like it's just a lot going on. So this election right here, this election is arguably the most important election of our lifetime. So here at Collective Minds, we are asking, right, who is the lesser? Hello? You there? Who is the lesser of two evils, right? We hear this saying a lot of times when elections roll around, and it's like, you know, we got to vote for the lesser of two evils. You know, none of the candidates are good, so we just got to pick the lesser of two evils. So here we are. We want to have this discussion with the family. We have Biden and Harris on one ticket, and we have Trump and Pence on the other ticket. Trump and Pence are the incumbents. Which means they have been in office, so they're defending, you know, their presidential ticket. And we're asking which one of these are the lesser of two evils. So give us a call, family. Collective Minds is not a spectator sport. This should be a, you know, good, interesting build and discussion. And we want to hear from the family, so hit us up. The number is 929-477-1697. But before we get to the call lines, what we're going to do is hear from our hosts, Queen Rigel and Brother Mufasa. Let them go in, and then, you know, I give my little piece, and then we'll get the call lines and see what the family think. All right? So let's get it. So we're going to start with our resident Queen Rigel. Who do you think is the lesser of two evils between the Biden and Harris ticket or the Trump and Pence? And, let us know. Who's the lesser of two evils in your opinion?
Well, okay. That is going to be easy for me, but just for the sake, I want you, if you don't mind, to clarify that, provide a little more clarity when you say who is the lesser of two evils. Like, would you just kind of clear that up? And then I'm going to provide an answer, and then I have a teacher that's also going to provide a little feedback as well.
Got you. So, you know, my interpretation of the lesser two evils mean, you know, both candidates and, you know, I'm a black male. Those are listed to the show. So my particular thought pattern stems from the black community being a black male in America. So I just want to put that out there. So when I say the lesser two evils, I mean, which one do you think will have a lesser impact on the
negative.
How do you say? Yeah, yeah. Who would have a negative impact on the black community? You know, would that be Biden and Harris, or would that be Trump and Pence, or which one? You know, which one will help the black community out, whether directly or indirectly? You know, if they're both, you know, they both have their own agendas.
Are you saying who would have the biggest negative impact on the community than the other?
Who will and who has? Who has had a negative impact and who will?
Right, yeah, you can put all that in there. Who has, who will. Yeah, it's a combination of all that. But the lesser of two evils would be the one that you would pick. The one that you would pick would be the lesser of the two evils, if that makes sense. You know,
okay.
If you would pick either one, because that's an option as well. But out of these, you know, these two presidential tickets, who would you pick as doing the least amount of harm, you know, for you, your family, your community, so on and so forth?
Okay. So for me, I would much rather see Trump in office over Biden. And I said that the last show. So that's pretty quick for me. You don't want to say anything. Okay, I was trying to give my spotty here an opportunity to say something. I guess you'll wait. But
okay. Yes, indeed.
I guess she'll wait. But so for me, I am going to still say Trump and Pence. I'm just looking forward to hearing other people's opinion because for any new listeners, I'm not a big politician. I'm not that into voting. I'm not extremely knowledgeable about it. I don't really vote either. I have voted before, but I'm not a big participant. And even for this one, right now I'm going to say I more than likely won't vote for the presidency. But my opinion, though, as far as Biden and Trump goes, I would rather have Trump in office over Biden. And I can leave it.
All right.
I'm ready to hear the opinion.
All right. Yes, indeed. You heard that. So, you know, we all got to make a decision. So, Roger said Trump would be the lesser two evils. And, we're going to leave it there until we get to the call lines. But before we do that, our brother Mufasa Ra, you know, people listen to the show probably familiar with your stands. But, you know, just lay it out, man. Who is the lesser of two evils between Biden, Harris, and Trump and Pence? Make it plain for us, brother.
Like I said, lay it out there, man. It kind of put me in the mind of Joe Biden right there.
Come on, man.
I am going to make it plain. When you look at these four, we can start with Joe Biden. Let's back up. The lesser of two evils to me is definitely Donald Trump and Pence. Now, I say this because you start with Joe Biden, and we all know that he was influential in the 94 crime bill, which incarcerated umpteen thousands of black people across the country. He was the one that was involved in this. That 94 crime bill broke up a lot of homes, separated a lot of fathers and mothers from their children. It did a lot of damage for the black community and community as a whole. You had the three strikes law that was tapped into there, even though Bill Clinton was the one that was his idea. But Joe, you know, he was involved and signed off on it. So, of course, I know how much damage he has done to the black community. Look at Kamala Harris. As California's district attorney, she sided with the police several times when it comes to police officer-involved shootings. as the state's attorney general, she didn't intervene in several high-profile officer-involved shootings. And as far as it was a black man by the name of Jamal Truvol. I'm going to read this. So it says, back when Kamala Harris was the district attorney, U.S. Senator Kamala Harris, now presidential contender and self-described progressive prosecutor, cost the city of San Francisco millions of dollars and cost Jamal Truelove, a black man, more than 6 years of his life. Harris allowed the people working under her to pursue a murder charge against Truelove that was ultimately overturned by an appeals court. Harris has yet to account for this incident, which is in stark contrast to the progressive image she is trying to project as she runs for vice president. So that right there is enough for me not to deal with her, plus the fact that she flat out lies, her and Joe Biden flat out lie and say she's a black woman when we know she's not a black woman. Still ain't nobody told me what makes her, how is she a black woman? Nobody's broke that down to me. Just because she looked dark, got dark features, she's not black. Prove to me that she's a black woman when we know her father was Jamaican and her mother was Indian. She ain't no black person. I'm talking about West Indian. Now, I'll leave it at that because when the, oh, you know what? I ain't going to leave it at that. Hold on. Let me just say this. I was going to leave it at that. But I was against Trump and Pence. Yeah, I gotta say something about Trump and Pence. Trump is actually the great emancipator. He came out with the first with the First Step Act that is reversing these policies that was put in by Joe Biden in 94 with his crime bill. He freed thousands of people, including thousands of black people, across the country with that First Step Act. One of them, who I spoke about last week, a grandmother who had did 20 years for a drug offense. You know, that's outrageous. That was her first offense. That's a nonviolent offense. Come on, man. You can't do people like that. So Trump changed it. Trump changed that. Not only did he change that, Trump was very influential on giving a lot of black artists, rappers, things to rap about in their songs. They wanted to be balling and rich like Trump. They all love Trump. But, you know, before he was quote-unquote a candidate or the president. But he inspired black people. I didn't want to say that now, but he inspired black people to do business. You know, he was a great businessman. That's up for debate as well. But, you know, Trump ain't did nothing, ain't put no policies in place to harm black people. And I'll listen in and see if someone can call in and tell me what he did put in place to harm black people. But after all I just said, I think I made it plain and have shown that Biden and Harris have done more to harm black people than Trump and Pence. The numbers speak for themselves. I rest my case.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, right. Family. Hit us up. You know, we are talking about who is the lesser of two evils between Biden and Harris and Trump and Pence. And we'll get to the call lines here in a second. But, family, hit us up. The number is 929-477-1697. Yeah, so just real quick, this is Cosmic Care here, so, you know, I don't want to get anything misconstrued, so I want to offer this disclaimer off the jump, right? I am not a Trump supporter in the least bit. You know, I understand what Trump is, but I am not a Trump supporter, okay? Let me just put that out there. Now, who is the lesser two evils? I'm going to say that Trump is the lesser two evils. And again, remember, I'm speaking from a black male perspective. I have the black community in mind, and that's the position I'm taking. So as far as the lesser two evils, I believe Trump would be the lesser two evils. Why do I say this, right? Biden has been in office since, elected official since 1973. Think about that, y'all. Somebody could do the math, any mathematicians. We are in 2020. Biden has been in office as a Democrat since 1973. Trump has only been in office 3 going on 4 years. And everybody wants to put all the bad things that didn't happen on Trump. And this man just got in office. So Biden has been in office longer. He had more time to do things to help the black community. And he has failed in that. Not only has he failed, but he's done more harm to black people and the black community than Trump has. And like Mufasa said, that's based on the numbers, the policies, the legislation that this man has signed off on, and the rhetoric he's used and the speeches to get those bills passed, right? So now I just want to give y'all a few quick things, because if Biden and Harris get in office, in my opinion, I think this would be detrimental to the black community. Why do I say this? Because there are certain policies that the Democrats and liberals promote that harm black society and the black family. Number one of those policies, immigration. The Democrats are big on just letting immigrants in and letting them just come in and do whatever they want, and they come into black communities, set up businesses and shops, and basically push black Americans out the way. That is detrimental to black society. Now, Trump, on the other hand, what does he say? Build that wall. Keep them out. He's kind of tough on immigration. So that policy, even though it's not directly, you know, it wasn't just because of the black community, but Trump's policy on immigration indirectly benefits black people or black Americans, right? The number two agenda that the Democrats push that is harmful to black society and a black family is the LGBTQ agenda. These are Democratic liberal who push this agenda onto black people. In my opinion, that's sexual confusion that you're pushing on the people. Remember, if you're born a man, you could just say you're a woman, right? If you're born a woman, you could just say you're a man. Now, these are agendas, again, that the Democrats push. Trump, not so much. The number three thing that the Democrats and liberals push is feminism. Now, what feminism does, that is a group started by white women, basically to divide the black woman and the black man, because feminism pits the black woman against the black man. And we can go down the history and talk about all that. But remember, Hillary Clinton was the one who said Margaret Sanger, who is a huge anti-black racist feminist, Hillary Clinton said Margaret Sanger was her hero, right? Hillary Clinton, big, powerful Democrat, and they pushed that feminism agenda, which is harmful to the black family because it separates black men and black women. They try to create a wedge between us when we know that black men and black women need each other. The number five thing with the Democrats is, how are they going to respond to this COVID-19 and the coronavirus as it pertains to black people? Now, what they're going to do, in my opinion, under the guise of concern for black people, because they always pander to black people, they tell us how bad we got it, they tell us about all the health disparities we have and so on and so forth, but they don't want to do anything specifically for black people. So with this COVID thing, what they're going to do is say, oh, since black people are disproportionately affected and they have all these health issues due to racism and blah, 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 they're going to promote giving the vaccine, which the first group will be guinea pigs. They're going to promote giving this vaccine to black people and essential workers first. That is a problem, in my opinion, right? Because, again, these vaccines, these will be like, you know, first trials and things like that. We don't really know how the side effects are going to work, but they want to try this out on black people first under the guise of concern for black people, which, in my opinion, I think that's a trick bag. And when it comes to Trump and coronavirus and COVID-19, he's actually given a little pushback to the government and to Dr. Fauci and those folks. He's kind of given a little pushback to the coronavirus as it stands, because they were all about, we need to get this vaccine out as soon as possible and get it to the people. And a lot of people are skeptical about this, as they should, when it comes to implementing this vaccine. So those are just four things I wanted to put out, that these Democratic liberal agendas actually do harm to black people in black society. And Trump, on the other hand, you know, whether directly or indirectly, some of his policies can actually help the black community. And again, we know where Trump stands. In my opinion, I think he's a card-carrying white supremacist. But for me, I like my racists and white supremacists to be upfront. That way I know how to deal with you. Joe Biden plays that role as if he's friends with black people, comes around, smiles, giggles, kind of, you know, talks down to black people, very condescending tone. You know, you're not black if you don't vote for me, type of tone he gives to black people. And he fronts as a friend, but his policies say something different. You dig what I'm saying? So the lesser two evils for me, make it plain, I think it's Trump. But for the record, I'm not voting for either one. And I'm going to leave it at that. So, yeah, family, hit us up. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. And let us know, who do y'all think is the lesser of two evils? Like I said, this is arguably the most important election of our time. So we want to hear from the family. Hit us up, and we're going to go to the call lines. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
2020. Y'all don't be scared. Come on board. Come on board with Mookie Tucker. Come on. 2020. Trump 2020.
No, sir. No, sir. If he come with a black agenda, we can rock. We can rock.
Okay. Air code 314. 381. I'm hoping I can get my friend Demetrius Johnson to call in. I know he had some things going on, but he said he's going to try to call in because he have a great opinion about this topic too. So I'm trying to get a lot of people's opinions and a lot of diverse opinions about this. So we welcome everybody's opinions. So just tune in. Let's get it. Area code 314-381. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Demetrius is going to be denigrating the white man. I've had these discussions with him before.
Oh,
but here's the thing: when you say black people, you have to you just can't go right like that. All blacks are not the same, and you have African Americans, blacks that benefit very, very well from Trump Prince. Then you have a lot that can't benefit because they are not in the position to benefit. What do I mean by position? Education. In the position of certain professions. In the position, surely, of viable businesses. I'm not talking about some retail business, and which is nothing wrong with these now, but I'm not talking about retail business where they're buying from wholesale Chinese and selling retail. I'm talking about viable business, like what your David Stewart is involved in, and it must be working for him if he were to take over $750,000 of his own personal money and donate to the Missouri State Republican Party. He does that because their policies work for him. So that's where the criteria lie. What policies on a national scale work for you? They're not just designed to work for blacks, they're designed to work for Americans who can take advantage of those policies and who are positioned where they can use the benefit. Look at the oil industry.
Mm-hmm.
The oil industry benefit handsomely off of Donald Trump, especially the fracking industry, and they say so. They say so. Fracking in America under Trump. They say so and congratulate their success with keeping oil down less than $2 a gallon. I'm sorry, gasoline less than $2 a gallon because of the spurred on production that's happening here in the United States. You have to have production. You can give black people reparations. If they don't have no production, they're going to be just as broke within a given time. If I gave you two loaves of bread, you use a loaf of bread a week. Okay. And out of the generation of my heart, I say, look, I'm going to give you three loaves of bread. Three. That should last you 3 weeks. And I'm going to tell you, before you run out, you better do something where you can produce your own. Well, guess what? If you don't produce something where you can produce your own, you know what you're going to be doing? Coming back to me at the end of that third week, one more bread. That's the same way with reparations. They can give you money, but that money don't last. Every time you take something out of it and don't put something back, more at least than what you took out, then it's going to disappear. And you'd be right back with yet another excuse because the ones that you use to get that is no longer valid. You're going to have another excuse to try to survive. At some point in time, you'd be designated as useless eaters. A useless eater is a person that asks for handouts, and while those handouts are lasting, they don't do anything to reproduce or produce what the handout is doing for them. Therefore, when they use the handout up, they back asking for more handout. Give them $350,000.
Right.
After a period
right.
of time,
well,
it's going to be gone.
Right, but here's the thing. Number one, reparations is not a handout. Reparations is funds for a services that were already rendered.
You
right?
can call
so
it whatever you want to call it.
Is not a, and then
the
number
purpose
two,
is
we would the purpose is I agree with what you said. The purpose is to use those funds to build black industry. If there are black people who want to buy Jordans and Cadillacs and Hennessy or whatever, that's on them. But for those of us that want to build, we have the right to do that with our funds. So I'm not
you can do whatever
about
you
what
want
other
to
black people do with their money.
But
exactly.
let me ask you a question.
We want to build businesses and
what you
going to
build?
Family.
What you going to build? What is the plan to build? Everybody's
exactly.
going to have a store where they be selling Jordans?
No. We need. Well, I mean that's part of capitalism and commerce in America. But no, we need land. We need farm. We need to produce things. Hemp farms. There's all types of industries. That are viable that we just need capital to get started in. You dig what I'm saying? So
well, I understand what you're saying, but let's be realistic.
Right.
How many people are going to buy land, and how many people know anything about farm? Matter of fact, when people get that type of momentary resources, they give up working, period.
Right.
But,
right.
hey, it would be a good idea. What I'm saying is this, is that when you become have an excess amount of dollars, the suppliers is going to raise their prices. It's about supply and demand.
Correct.
Chinese is going to raise their prices. It's about see, they always going to raise their prices because they own Kith and Kin is selling what you possibly going to get involved in selling. Being the fact, and let's hear
right.
that word again, being the fact that they produce, manufacture the things that you want to get from them at a wholesale level so that you can
right.
retail, duplicating what their Kith and Kin is already doing, they are not going to give you family prices.
Right, and this is what we know, and that's why, like our brother Kanye said, we need to bring manufacturing jobs back to the United States. But I don't want to get too far off topic, but as it stands today, America has a trade deficit, meaning we import more than we export. So that's a problem. However, if we were to build those factories and get those industries,
who is the we
on you're American
talking
soil,
about? Who's the we?
When I say we, and we in this context, I mean just American people in general.
All right, so you saying that Americans, hang on for a second, Americans going to bring back manufacture so they can sell wholesale to black people so that they can sell retail. Anything that's manufactured in the United States is not going to be manufactured cheaper than what it is in China. But at the same time, that's why they're not going to do it. Whites ain't going to be opening up manufacturing in the United States in particular for blacks. It just don't make no sense. But as I said before, I mean, think about it. I'm not trying to discourage you, but you got to have a plan.
No.
And things don't work on paper. It's not going to work in real life. It's the same way that the Koreans push whites out of the hair care products. They say, we ain't selling to you no more. They done a video. They done a documentary on it, on hair care products. And you got a white merchant in there saying, the Koreans wouldn't sell to us no more. They wouldn't sell to black.
Right,
you remember
right.
The one where they had the pressing comb? The lady was comparing the pressing comb and said, this is made in Korea now. Well, it was that same documentary. They did not sell hair care products to white merchants. Why? Because
right,
they
right,
make
right.
them.
And that, I
all
mean,
right,
that's
so,
another good point. But yes, indeed. Yeah, well, I don't want to get too far off topic. But who do you think is the lesser two evils?
Donald Trump is
evil.
Doing fine for some, and he's not quite naturally not doing fine for some others. So you have to,
right.
you have to be more definitive when you throwing the word black people out there. Donald Trump does mm-hmm. fine for
well,
myself.
I mean, black
Donald
American.
Trump does fine
right.
for David Stewart. Donald Trump does fine for Bridgman. Donald Trump does fine
right.
for Janice Brown, who has over 18,000 employees.
Right.
And who does Joe
right.
Biden? Who does Joe Biden do fine for? Who will he do fine for?
I don't know who Joe Biden. I don't know who Joe Biden would do fine for. He's talking about doing away with tax breaks. So that means that those that are married and had their standardized deduction of double, he's going to do away with that. And one thing, too, we need to have Trump back in so they can extend that out beyond 2025.
Right.
He needs to go on further than that. He's going to bring back the tax on death taxes. He's going to bring back death taxes. So if blacks start businesses and they decide if they die, let's take a farm. If they die and they leave that farm to their children, that farm, just the farm itself, is subjected to death taxes. And in many cases, not only with blacks but whites too, they have had to sell off acreages of the farm just to pay the taxes.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Think. You got to think.
Colin. Yes, indeed. That's what we
I
do
see
at
y'all.
Collective Minds. We think. Yes, indeed. Appreciate you.
Right on, brother.
Yes, indeed, family. If you're just joining us, we are talking about this election coming up. This will be probably the most important election of our lifetime. Who is the lesser two evils? We hear that saying a lot. We got Biden and Trump on one ticket. I mean, I'm sorry. We got Biden and Harris on one ticket, and then we got Trump and Pence on the other. You know, as it pertains to you, your family, your community, who do you think would be the lesser of two evils? Hit us up. The number is 929-477-1697. Collective Minds. Let's hit the call lines.
Okay, area code 319-572. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
I would have to say Trump.
Okay.
But
you wanna break it down?
At least I know what to expect from him.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I see it, every election season, they always want to pull in the black folks. Then once they get the black people suckers, and we go vote for them, all they gonna do is put us back on the back burner.
Right.
So, and they do
right.
this every and if y'all ain't notice, they do this. They try to do the racial divide every presidential election. Tell them black people who the best to vote for, and then as soon as they get in office, they like I said, go back on the back burner. Until next election. So
right. Exactly.
And right. Biden and Kamala, no.
See, I agree with you. They do put us on the back burner, but I don't feel as if Trump Pence has put black people on the back burner. Of course,
he ain't gonna make everybody
happy, but he's done some things that has affected black people in a positive way, in my opinion.
Yeah,
and like I stated some of those things earlier.
But as you said, look at Biden's career. So he's been in there that long, and like I said, there need to be term limits. They shouldn't be able to sit in there for 30 years and just do whatever. So, and they shouldn't be getting paid for being there either. They should have to, when they go on for recess, they should have to go back to their regular job.
Right.
So.
Right. All right.
But like I said,
indeed, appreciate you, Tyler.
And more, that's just too long.
Okay. But, yes, indeed. Appreciate you, Carla. All right, appreciate you. All right.
Well,
so
far it's looking good.
So
for Trump.
Far, most people are saying
Trump is winning.
We haven't had any Biden to say Biden is the lesser two evils yet. So y'all want to give us a call? Let us know. This collective minds. We ain't all got to think alike, but we all got to think. You dig? That's where we're at.
Afraid.
I mean, yeah, let us know what's going on. You know, maybe we are misinformed. You know what I'm saying? Now, when it comes to Biden and Harris, though, I do know that they are struggling trying to get the black vote, especially the young black vote and black men. Now, they've been pushing hard trying to campaign for black women, which is one of the reasons they selected Kamala Harris as the vice presidential candidate is because they were trying to use her as a Trojan horse. I used that term before. They were trying to use her as a Trojan horse to get the black woman vote. Okay. And they have some black women, but black people in general are not falling for Biden. They're not feeling Biden and Harris. They're just not. And there was an interview just real quick, I believe last week, where they asked Kamala Harris about the black male vote, which is another important voting block that they have just completely ignored. And this woman goes on to talk about all men and how all men matter and all this other type stuff. It's like, lady, the interviewer asked you about black men specifically as far as getting their vote, and you go on to something else. So that right there shows me that this woman has contempt for black men. Again, she's a former prosecutor, a former top cop. She has contempt for black men, and she's really not a friend of black society, in my opinion. And people can see right through that, and that's why they're having a hard time with galvanizing the black vote. That's where we at. We're talking about the lesser two evils between Biden and Trump. Hit us up. Let's go to the call lines up.
Okay. Area code 315-767. Call your own with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
No, because I'm going to be running across the same lines as y'all are, so I'm going to leave it some space for somebody to come in and talk on Biden, see if somebody can convince us that Biden's better.
Okay,
yes,
thanks, Colin. Area code 336. 965, caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or do you have a comment?
Oh, not at this moment. I'm just listening because I got on late.
All right.
Okay.
We appreciate you.
Okay,
we appreciate you.
Here
it is. The other thing is, so not only does Biden have a problem with his policies in the past as far as the crime bill. He also supported the crack cocaine disparity, which was actually before the crime bill. That was in like 84, 86. He supported that bill to give people who had crack more time than people who had cocaine, right? The disparities. And he knew that that would disproportionately affect black people, considering that we know that crack was an agenda, you know, pushed in the hood to lock up as many black people as possible. And this man, Biden, this man did a speech talking about, yeah, how crack is just different, the biological effect. He went on a speech. I mean, there was like some real racial eugenics type stuff where he was talking about crack cocaine affects black people differently, and you know, it's not, it's a little different than, you know, you guys white people in the suburbs just sniffing a few lines of cocaine. That's different. Crack is just way worse and all this and that. No, fam, these are both the same drugs, damn near. You know what I'm saying? But you're trying to make a case in order to disproportionately lock up black people. And this is in a speech that you can find online. So not only does he have a problem with his policies, this man also has a problem with his health. This man is senile. He's been caught a few times calling his wife, his daughter, and mixing up family members and talking off the cusp and going off the rails and just saying things that are incorrect and basically flat out lying. So you got to look at this man's health, his mental health. How is he going to stand up? And most people, a lot of people are saying that this is for, if they were to win, this is for Kamala Harris to eventually be president, because his health is not going to hold up for the next 4 years. He's not going to be competent enough to run the country, you know, for the next 4 or 8 years. You see what I'm saying? So we have to look at that dynamic too, as far as it, when it comes to Biden's health. You dig what I'm saying? So yeah, you know, I don't know if y'all want to take that and go a little further, but you know, we gotta look at all dynamics when it comes to this Biden and Harris ticket, as compared to the Trump ticket.
Yeah, I just want to add, he's the bigger of the liars to me out of the two. People always say Trump is a big liar and told all these lies. Point him out to me. What is the lie, the big lies that he told to the black community? Well, what's the big lies he told in general? You know, like I said, for Kamala and Joe to even run this campaign of picking a black vice president, to me, that's enough for me right there. I mean, I just can't let that go. It's like the elephant in the room for me. Like, they're going to keep selling this woman as black, and she ain't black. I don't know why that bothers me so much, but it really gets under my skin. Like, let's just be honest and say, you know, maybe you need to turn woman of color or something, or just woman. But
right,
you try to sell her
right
for black. We know why you're doing that. You're only doing it to try to get the black voter. Point blank.
Right.
You know, that's a doggone shame.
Right.
The stuff that Trump said he was going to do for black people, he did it. You know, I brought up before about helping with the education. You know, he's forced school choice. He helped the black colleges. Why is it getting past it? The historical black colleges. What's the time for them? HBCUs,
right.
He
had HBCU, right.
With their budget, to get that budget together, gave them an allotted time. It was having to beg for a budget every year. He gave them more time for their budget. So, with the First Step Act, several other things that, you know, I'll break down at a later time. But Trump has, in my opinion, stood by what he was going to do.
Right,
man,
right.
Said he was going to build a wall. People said he wasn't going to build it. New York was several hundreds of miles of wall is up.
Okay.
You know?
Yes, indeed. Now,
so,
just to add a little balance, I'm going to just be you know, just play the other side real quick, just add a little balance. Now, this is an article that just came out, and it says Donald Trump threatens to defund California public schools that implement the New York Times 1619 Project, which reframes U.S. history around slavery after he canceled un-American federal racial sensitivity training. So I don't know if y'all know about that, but just recently Donald Trump banned federal agencies from conducting racial sensitivity training and calling it un-American propaganda. Basically, you know, with the racial sensitivity training, they talk about, you know, racial education and talk about white privileges and things like that, which my thing is, I don't think you can train or retrain a racist not to be racist. So I'm not particularly mad at that. I don't think that's why he got rid of it, but I just don't think that, you can retrain racists. Like, that racial sensitive training has got to be the biggest con game in the world, because if black people, this is the thing black people got to understand. White people know about racism. They don't need to be educated. They know how it operates. They know how it functions. The name of the game is to play dumb so you don't catch on. Think about it. When it comes to everything else, white people are supposedly the smartest group. But when it comes to racism, oh, I had no idea. No, fam. This is the biggest con game. They know, they just don't care. And that's the reality we gotta face. They just don't care. They know about it. If anybody's confused about racism, it's black people. Otherwise, we would have solved this problem a long time ago. But since we haven't solved the problem, one can only conclude that we are the most confused about how it functions and operates. White people are not at all confused about this. So with him defunding that, I'm not totally mad at that. Now, with the 1619 Project, which is the project that the New York Times released about slavery, which basically centered American history around slavery, which it is. American history is largely due to slavery. That's a large part of the narrative when it comes to how America got from there to here. Slavery played a huge part in that. So, you know, I'm not sure why he's doing that. But again, we know how Donald Trump rocked. You know what I'm saying? We know the company he keeps, and we know how he rocked, and which I'm cool with that, because I know how to deal with people like that. But I digress. You know, if y'all want to hit the call lines, or you want to respond to Fox, or what y'all want to do.
Let's get a call in. What my Democrats is?
Okay. Area code 314-805. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
You got a Democrat here. Just a couple questions, bro. All right. Bro, Kev, you know me. Show me an ad other than a Trump ad that shows where the First Step Act has released thousands of brothers. All right, that's one, because I don't think that's true. Show me an ad where these tax cuts have helped brothers, or even where Joe's going to raise taxes. Like one brother said, well, your standard deduction is going to double. Okay, well, show me something that says where Joe Biden said, hey, I'm going to raise taxes on everyone. All right, show me that. And I heard you guys say that Biden lies. Okay, fine. But does Trump lie? Hell yeah, he lies. He lies constantly. I've seen him lie.
Yes.
He lies a lot.
Yes, he does.
And
yes,
not only that, okay, I know rappers rapped about him back in the 80s or 90s or whatever. Okay, but at the same time, he was denying rent his places to black folks. I mean, he didn't want to rent them to him. And then he lies. He's filed, I know my one brother, you said he's a good businessman. He's filed bankruptcy 10 times. He's bankrupt everything he's touched, right?
Right,
and this is a
right,
guy whose
right.
own family despises him. Okay, fine. Your own family members say, hey, you're my brother, but you're going to sign an NDA, right? As soon as you turn against him, and he's like, man, you mud to me. He's going to throw you under the bus, right? So let's say this election happens. He wins. He may win. And the Democrats get 90% of the vote. Oh, man, we all going to catch hell. One thing. I know you all say, hey, well, we haven't gained a lot. He's stacking these courts with some conservative judges, and if he wins again, he's going to put another conservative judge on the Supreme Court. And it might not affect us because we are older, but it will affect our kids. Trust and believe that when they put these laws, and I know some of this stuff we might take for granted, we might say, well, that doesn't affect us. Yes, some of these laws do affect us. That's going to have an effect on us. Personally, I think Obamacare is gone. Now, it's not just free, and it's not just insurance for everyone, the cheap insurance. There's, you know, Medicaid expansion. It just happened in Missouri. Having insurance means living longer. And not only that, you have pre-existing conditions, all that kind of stuff go away. I have Republican friends who carry their kids on their insurance till they hit 26. They didn't know who was responsible for that. But I think it's a big difference. That's my opinion, though. And I don't think he has a built wall. As far as I know, his brother said he built these thousands. I think he's prepared some wall. And I know his boy Bannon, they built a private wall that all of them been indicted for. And half this dude's cabinet been indicted. What if on Obama, half his friends were indicted? Or even if Obama had married three women and accused of beating them and raping them or whatever. Had his,
right.
I mean, it's just a double standard there. What would people say if Obama had Trump's credentials?
Right.
I mean, what would he say then?
Right. True.
Hey, brother, there's so many things that I have to respond to as being a fan of the genre.
Yep.
Now, when you say about these thousands of black people, I mean, I can't run the list down for you, you know, name by name, but I had a family member, a cousin who was released due to the First Step Act, who had been serving, had been in prison for over 10 years. I think it was around 18 years. Definitely was over 10 for a drug offense. If you look up a man by the name of Matthew Charles, he was a black man who was released from prison under the First Step Act. He actually he actually spoke at the State of the Union address that the president had. It was a grandmother who was released, and I'm about to pull her name up.
Alice Johnson. Alice Johnson was a kingpin. She was playing keys
or whatever.
And she got out.
She was
released. Yep.
She was
released. Sorry not to cut you off, but Obama passed a law back in 2010 or 2012 that reduced the crack sentences up to 82%. So a lot of people were released on that law that was passed, not necessarily the First Step Act. I mean, a lot of people were released under that. That's been swept under the rug. Trump takes credit
for
anything that Obama's done. Anything that Obama's did, he's turned the clock back. I'm gonna turn it back. Obama say, "I'm gonna pass a law to say the word." Oh, that's a horrible law. Get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this man has even. And I know, brother, you say Kamala's not black. Trump saying that, he said Obama wasn't black, then he finally said the man was black. This dude
of
said,
course, but after you get pressured,
I mean, it's a pressure thing.
He was pressured in
the
He was trying to be politically correct.
Right. So, so even with the Central Park Five, he said, hey, well, the dudes were proven not to do it. He said, I don't care. They did it. They did something. They did something.
Right.
I mean, he could say about any black person.
So, you know, can you tell us some of the things that Joe Biden is going to do for black people?
But I say, what he's going to do?
Yeah,
he
Joe Biden has to bring it in. What are they going to do?
I'll keep it simple. Whether black people going to benefit from it, I think the Affordable Health Care Act stays. That alone, I think they don't stack the court with Supreme Court justices that's going to turn back Voting Rights Act, affirmative action, and everything. And that stuff translates to jobs. Whether it's it translates to us. It'll benefit white people, but it's going to benefit black people too. I can tell you what Trump has done. I don't think he's done a thing. Only thing he did is the first step back. And I think that gives more credit for what he's doing. He's let out, for as I can see, he's let out more of his partners who've been locked up. And he could just throw Alex Johnson and another brother in our face. Think about this guy's history, man. I won't debate who's going to do. If he doesn't get the majority of our votes, no telling what this dude's going to do. And I'll tell you another thing. This is my personal opinion. If this corona stuff was in those red states, these laws, you'll have a mass mandate out the ass, out the butt. Right. It's because it's not in the red state. It's in the blue state.
Wait. You said a mouthful right there.
He continues to say that. And he continues to say
that. You said a mouthful right there.
I'm going to raise the taxes in the blue state. I'm going to get them. It's all about that. I'm going to raise the taxes.
Right.
See, that's why I say this coronavirus is just a conspiracy by Democrats. It's mighty high that all the numbers are high in blue states. So you said a mouthful right there. And in the beginning of this thing, Trump was even dropping hints that it was some foolishness. But because he's the president and he has to play it in between, he bent on that a little bit. But he was dropping knowledge on us at the beginning. There's some foolishness that this is not a for real crisis.
If you look at the maps now, it's in the red states. It's hitting Missouri. It's hitting the Midwest now. So it went from those states and they adjusted, but it's moving to the Midwest now. And don't be surprised if you see these governors in these red states saying, hey, they starting to do certain things. Here's my opinion. I think the courts make a difference. I think insurance make a difference. We might not see it as much, but our kids will. And this dude's going to turn back civil rights so far, whether we want to believe in them or not, that stuff makes a difference. He says what he wants to say. He's never challenged on it. Not for real. And then he calls everybody evil. I mean, when your own family.
That was exactly.
Your own grandmother. But anyway, I won't take all the show.
Right.
But this guy
appreciate
has his own family turning on. That's a horrible dude when your own family turn on.
Right.
But
I mean,
he brought up some interesting comments, and we'll chop it up again, brother. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, we'll chop it up.
Right
on, Carl. Appreciate it. Yeah, he made some good points, and we'll respond. I'm going to respond to a couple of them later. But, yeah, he made some good points as far as Trump. And those are some points that I kind of brought up before. You dig what I'm saying? But I digress, and we'll touch on them later. Let's hit the call line. Let's see what's popping.
Okay, area code 314-372. Caller, you are on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question? I'm Matt.
I've just been enjoying you all's conversation. I don't really have a question. I have a comment, and I think it's time for blacks as a group, since we seem to be at a point in time in history where we are expressing unity through protests and many other means, but on the other side of that coin, we are still expressing some of the same things that have held us back since the Civil War. I think it's time for we have never had a president or a vice president that was the political process was tilted in favor of black people. So the lesser of two evils, to me, I think the lesser of two evils is basically black people's our will to make a difference. I don't expect anything out of Joe Biden or Donald Trump that no other president
right.
has got. I expect them to do just what they have done for the past 200-some years. Have put the interest of their constituencies or constituents first and foremost.
Right.
But I don't blame all
right.
that on them. I blame us as a people because we do not have economic and political clout. Every group or every
right.
organization, whether it's the Chinese, whether it's the Irish, whether it's the Jewish, every one of those groups has something to bring and put on the table. A reason that you are going,
mm-hmm.
they send lobbyists to Washington to say, hey, look, we need you to hear this because we bring X, Y, Z to the table. What do black
right.
people bring to the table? What do we have as a group? What political clout, what economic clout have we brought to say, look, if you want to mess with us or you want our vote, this is why you need to pay us attention. And I don't know what it is.
Right.
What is that thing? And just the fact that I don't know, I think it's a lot of people out there like, well, shit, I don't know either. But we need to at least come together and say, look, this is something we need to unify on. If we generate $3.9 trillion to this economy every year, that has to account
right.
for something. But if you're just giving it away, then it's,
right.
it's not economic power. If you're just giving it to anybody who
right.
put up with somebody in your neighborhood, you're giving your economic power away. But when you consolidate that and you say, hey, look, you know, in our own community, grassroots, we shop with our own so we can build this economic clout. So when it comes time for
exactly.
people in office who have our interests, we can say, if you want this, I have a pack of 160,000 voters right here. I got a pack
right.
of 750,000 voters in Carolina. If you want these voters, this is what you need to do for us. You need to need to reestablish a contract with our politicians. Reestablish,
right.
we never had one. And the only person who tried to do that, was my dude from Haiti, Black Star. I can't think of his name right now. I don't know why.
You say from Haiti? Who?
Yes, you know who I'm talking about.
Wycliffe?
Who developed Black Star? No.
Oh, you're talking about Marcus Garvey from Jamaica. Marcus Garvey.
Yes.
You're talking about Garvey from Jamaica.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. I said Haiti. I should have said, but he was Black Star. And that was probably the best attempt at developing actually what I'm talking about. And he was on the trail
right.
until he tried to come up with a shipping line. And the fall there was when they built the ship, the ship damn near sank on its inauguration because it leaked. It had so many holes in it, you know. But that comes to technology and the ability to master what it is that you are indulging in. Technology can be the savior for Black America, because technology is the one thing that you don't have to be connected in to somebody else to have. Technology is the one thing where I don't have to have an inventory. I don't have to have $5 million to establish an inventory. I don't have to have I don't have to be connected to the steel industry or any other industry. You can come up with technology. You can delve into technology for little or nothing. Technology is more about your intellectual capacity and the ability to consolidate that more so than anything else. So when we start to
mm-hmm.
generate our own schools and our own intellectual power structure, now we can effectively affect our own demise, our own ability to have on our own, to create. Right now we basically, as your caller said earlier, we are looked at throughout, not just through the United States but throughout the world, as useless evils. And
based
on our ancient history, nothing more could be further from the truth. But if you don't know what your roots are, then Yeah, your tree is on the verge of falling down with the first strong wind.
Brother.
So,
brother, let me ask you one quick question. And then, because Brother Kev probably got a question too. Only thing I wanted to ask you is this, because, you know, on this show right here, this topic, we're dealing with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and, you know, Trump and Pence.
Right.
And I'm feeling you on everything you said there. But I have to put you, you know, I have to put you in the hat chair and say, look, and ask you the question.
I'm ready.
Between those two, who are you telling black people they should vote for? Which one is the lesser of the two evils? Because we sitting there saying that they both, and neither one of them good, but who is the lesser of the two evils, and who are you going to tell black people to vote for?
First of all, I'm not in a position, and I would to be the spokesperson for all black people, I would never take that on. That's too much weight for my shoulders. But as I was speaking with Rigel at one point, and I was saying, you know, politics and dealing with politics is like going to a dope deal. It's like, you know, you going to a buyout. So you getting ready to go sit into, you going to a environment to buy 4 or 5 bricks. And you don't trust anybody that's there. You know what I'm saying? You are there to make a deal. You're not there to trust any of the people you're dealing with. It ain't about trust. So I don't trust Trump and I don't trust Biden. The thing is who can I make a deal with and get my product and leave here alive? That's my point. And politics is the same way. Who can I make this deal with and get out of this situation alive? Because it might not seem that serious right now, but shit can take a turn for the worse, and we can all be on, man. I think the person that we should deal with is the person who is willing to renegotiate a contract with black America. But first, before you do that, you have to have a contract. You have to have a defined contract. So whatever politician is willing to sit down and say, hey, look, if you're serious about this and you've got a contract drawn up and you want our vote, I can bring you our vote. I can bring you the black vote. I can bring you 75 to 80% of the black vote. But you have to be willing to say, I will get this contract.
Right, and there is a contract, believe it or not. Ice Cube has a contract for Black America that you can look up online. If you just Google contract with Black America, he has a contract that's laid out. Then that's Ice Cube, O'Shea Jackson, formerly of N.W.A.
I'm familiar. I haven't read the contract, but I was familiar with his efforts. But he espouses a lot of the things that I have felt for a long time.
Yes, indeed.
A lot of the things that I think that go ahead.
But no, I was just going to say it. Now, I have an answer to your first question. When you first came in and you was like, you know, what leverage do black people have in the political process? Well, here's the thing, because Dr. Claude Anderson told us in the book Powernomics how to play the political game. You cannot just vote and hope and wish that your agendas are going to be addressed. No, you have to have an economic base. You have to have an economic base. Therefore, you can buy politicians, because all politicians are for sale. They all lie and they're all for sale, but they do the work for the people who actually pay them, right? So at this point, since black people as a group, we don't really have a cohesive economic base, right? It's not cohesive. We have a base, but it's scattered and our money's going in a lot of different directions. But since we don't have a cohesive economic base, the only thing we have for leverage is our vote. And that sounds small, but that's the only thing we have. So with that being said, the onus is on the Democrats. Since historically black people have voted majority Democrat for the longest, we have to, in my opinion, withhold our vote until the Democrats address our concerns. Otherwise, we can let that party crash and burn. Like, we can basically delegitimize an illegitimate system by not participating in the presidential election process. Like, we can delegitimize this particular system. If both parties are not willing to address our concerns, which are immediate, which are at this point, these are concerns that need to be met immediately that we have, because Black America is at a strategic point where if we don't get our needs addressed, like the first caller said, we are on the verge of being third, fourth class citizens, economically deprived, and useless eaters. But if we have our needs addressed, we can, you know, we can start to make efforts to move forward. But again, the only thing we have, family, is our vote. And like, you shouldn't just give your money away. You should not just give your vote away for nothing. You should be asking for something.
No, I don't think you should.
Right. So if neither party. Go ahead, my brother.
I think too many blacks have died and risked life and limb for that vote to carelessly just you know give it away. So no, I would never
right.
think that. But I think in revolutionary times you have to have revolutionary action. And what I'm saying
exactly.
is we live in a time now where going about business the same way that we have gone about it for as long as we
exactly.
have gone about it. It's not good enough. We have to do
right.
something.
Right, so my
different.
Brother, listen.
Whether it's telling the Democratic Party, hey, look, we were originally Republican,
right.
and we were Republican
right.
because of Abraham Lincoln. We can do something
right.
radical, and we can go back to the Republican Party. But if that's not seen viable, we could have let Kanye West and then put up and say, Kanye, we need you to get this person as a vice president. Then we can kill Kanye and then put the other person up for vice president and make them president.
Or we could do something even more radical. Or we can do something even more radical, which is not vote for either party. How do you continue to vote in a fraudulent system? We know American politics is corrupt, especially on the federal
yes.
level. Why would we continue to participate in a corrupt, fraudulent system, especially when they're not offering anything? That's my point. So
we
talk about doing something that goes against convention. Why would we continue to vote? We're basically saying we agree with the corruption. We agree with being victimized
if we
continue to vote.
What I'm saying, so I feel the same way, but I just believe in taking it a step further. And history, this situation has been dealt with before in history. Before, when this system was challenged, what was done historically is it became a third or a fourth party system. So I believe that another party should be developed, not just a black
there
party,
you go.
But a people party.
Right.
I think another party should be placed on the table, something that shows the
there
concerns of the average blue-collar or citizen or somebody who believes in people over politics, and that should be that system. This has been done before in history. It never overcame the two major parties, but it did tip the scales, and it did change how history voted for a president, the Whig Party. So I mean,
right.
if you look back at history when they came to a crossroads like this, that is what happened. Another party evolved, you know, as recently as the Green Party, which was
right,
which was failed as well, but. I don't think because if it failed, I don't think that's a reason to say, oh, well, we shouldn't do it again. I don't think that it won't work. I mean, I think it should. I think very much so it should work. Now is the time for something like that to happen. That is the revolutionary principle I think that we should be pushing right now. Rather than hold our
yes,
vote,
indeed.
Take our vote and create something new with our vote, and like-minded individuals, people who believe and feel the same way. not a black agenda,
exactly.
Not a white agenda, but a people's agenda.
Exactly. Well, here's the thing, because I'm looking at a black agenda, because as a society, the job of a society is to address the needs of the most vulnerable, because a society is only as great as its weakest link. And as it stands right now, as a group, black people are that weakest link economically, socially, and politically. So our needs need to be first and foremost. Therefore, a strong black America means a great America, period. And that's a fact. Now, the thing is, with the new party, I agree. Yes, we need another political party. But at this point, with the election being less than 2 months away, it's too late for that. We, in my opinion, what I'm going to do personally, what I'm going to do is withhold my vote for this presidential election, and then we can regroup for 2024. That is a plan that you have to plan for years in advance, years in advance in order to get that done. So we can strategically withhold our vote this election, and we can regroup for 2024, because their biggest fear is us not participating in this fraudulent system and black people doing our own thing, period. That's their biggest fear. Voting for the lesser two evils is the same thing we've been doing for years and years with no results, because we don't have an economic base to buy politicians to push our agendas. We've just been voting and hoping and wishing and voting and been used as political fodder by especially the Democrats, but both parties have been using black people and pandering to us without giving us anything. So those days are over. And like I say, with this election being one of the most important, we cannot just throw our vote away because we want to get Trump out of office. No, we need to demand something from the Democrats, and if they're not going to do anything, there's no law that says we have to vote for either party when we know that these groups are fraudulent. So if we participate, we're saying, okay, we're cool with being victimized and we're cool with a fraudulent system and they can do whatever they want. But if we disengage, then they have to really go back to the drawing board and come back with something concrete, some tangibles for black people, and then we'll see who we'll vote for. Other than that, we can continue to do our own thing and do what we want to do.
That's one scenario, and that's one scenario, and it's very viable. But it's not the only scenario, because there is also something else that could happen. It could delegitimize the black vote on a whole scale. That very thing that you're hoping. Just based on what you just said, is that they will reconstruct the system around the fact that if we take our vote.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is. Right. Go ahead.
If we take our vote away, that they'll reconstruct the system. Well, another scenario is that they could use that, the fact that we don't vote, and use that as a scenario to say, okay, well, look, guess what? Then you don't want the vote. We declassify, and don't think they can't do it, because especially in the age of Trump, you can come. He's came up with policies, some shit that you've never heard of before, and you're like, wow, how can they do that? When did they start doing that? He could very well delegitimize the black vote to say that for some
Right.
Go ahead.
But if they did that, that would be suicide for them, because the thing is, black people don't understand our power. We fuel this whole system, period, whether we know it or not. We fuel this whole system. The only thing is, they know our power, but we don't. So the worst thing they could do is try to, make some unjust laws to try to, quote-unquote, put us back in slavery and whatnot. No, because if they did that, then black people would get on code. And we would know, there would be no confusion about what we need to do. And that would just make us tighten up even more. And they know that. So they don't want to do that. And then on top of that, I would ask you, brother, are you going to follow any unjust laws? Because I know I'm not. So whatever they come on the books, like the brother talked about, you know, they have these Supreme Court nominations and so on and so forth, and they could push these Voting Rights Act back and civil rights laws back and all this and that, but we're in a new day. We don't have to follow these unjust laws. You dig what I'm saying? We're in a time of the internet. The world is smaller based on technology, and we, you know, there's a coalition of countries and people outside of the United States that we can connect to and show what's going on in real time. So we don't have to follow unjust laws. We don't have to adhere to unjust policies. You know, we can do our own thing and create our own valuable nation inside of this nation despite the laws that they may put on the books, period. And that's what we got to understand, because the power is in the people at the end of the day. You dig what I'm saying? But I digress, my brother. We coming down to the last 5 minutes, and, you know, we appreciate your call, my brother.
Thank you for listening.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate you. All right, all right. Yeah, so I'm going to let y'all get the last word, family. I think it was pretty much the majority of people said that.
Man, well, real quick, let's give a shout-out. Let's give a shout-out to him, too. For those that don't know, and for those that do listen to us all the time, that's the young man that did our intro for us, so we want to give a special shout-out for him.
Oh, yes,
Duno Ray is what we call him.
Yes, indeed.
Appreciate you.
All right, Brother Mufasa, I'm going to let you go ahead and then see if we can wrap it up. It's been a great show, y'all. We appreciate your family.
Yeah, he actually do the intro and the outro, so you might get a little piece of it if you stick around when we close this out. But, yeah, hey, you can vote or you cannot vote. All I'm going to say is I'm voting. I'm voting for the lesser of two evils. I'm voting for Donald Trump. And if, as soon as we get a candidate and this other party that y'all are talking about, somebody's going to represent it, and we got a dog in the fight, then, hey, I'm on board. Right now, that ain't the case. I got to deal with what's out there. And so even if none of us voted, it ain't going to stop nothing. They still going to vote for a president. If none of us black people voted, the rest of the United States is going to jump out there, and somebody's still going to get picked. So I'm going to go out there and place my vote for the candidate that I like, and that man is Donald Trump. We'll see what happens come 2024.
All right. Yes, indeed. Yeah, I would say, you know, just real quick, that is true. No matter, you know, whether we vote or not, somebody is going to be selected, not elected for president. Somebody will be selected. But, you know, truth be told, a lot of Americans have disengaged from the political process. When you look at the numbers, it's about 50-50. You know, 50% of Americans vote and 50% don't, you know, give or take a few percent. But, the, you know, American political system has been corrupt. So my thing is we don't have to legitimize the illegitimate system. These people are corrupt. They lie, which we know. You know, no big deal. Politics is not about friends. It's about money. It's about padding your friends' pockets and taking care of the people that take care of you, meaning who drop off that bag. And at this point, black people as a group don't have a bag to drop off, so our only leverage is to vote or to not vote. You dig what I'm saying? But I digress, and, yeah, we'll see y'all next week, family.
Oh, yeah, and thanks for tuning in. Thanks for supporting us. Check us out next week, 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And peace.
Peace.
A collective, a colorful perspective. The brothers, the brothers. Word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things. Dig deep and going deeper. Waking up the sleeper. Who be been a keeper? Yeah, yeah, boy, done found a keeper. See, we talking.
We talking like we walking. Collective mind.